So this is the update, center update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a bit about what goes on behind the scenes. And first, let me just say that when Donna mentioned about David going to San Francisco, I saw David earlier in the week and we were talking. He mentioned he was going to San Francisco, which was my home church. I was walked into that church when I was 20 years old, a long time ago. And he said, "Is there anything that you'd like me to share with the folks?" And I said, "Gosh, just tell them how their efforts of supporting me and loving me just sort of led me into ministry. I could have been a millionaire instead." I say that facetiously because at the time in San Francisco, I worked for Pacific Bell, and I was headed for Bell Labs, and I decided to go into ministry instead. Anyway, okay, so now we're in ministry. Right, tell me more? Okay, let's tell you more. All right, well, that's the substance of other talks. When we get into seeming regrets, we'll talk about that. So I want to share that stay tuned because we're in the process of moving towards live streaming our Sunday event as well as other things. So stay tuned for more to be said about live streaming and coming that up. And is Tara here today? Tara's not here today? Where's Tara? Terry, that's Terry. Tara. Okay, she's not here today. But we do want to just mention that we've had a big effort here with spirit groups and many, many different service projects. Just want to thank everybody. If you've been involved in spirit groups and service projects, please raise your hand so we can just thank you again. Thank you so much for all your efforts. Of course, there's more than just spirit groups that makes the Unity Spiritual Center happen, and the ushers, the greeters, the folks that create the goodies after service, our youth educators, everyone who participates in this, making the Unity Spiritual Center work and really a part of a dynamic community. Just raise your hand if you're involved at all. Excellent. That's a lot of folks. We have about 50 or 60% of our community involved in some meaningful way. And I want to just finish with just a brief video that kind of gives a sense.
So tonight we're going to reflect on that connection. We're going to talk about
lights down.
You're going to share your experiences on, if you want, on how
lights.
Connections
lights.
And experience have impacted you.
Thank you.
We're going to acknowledge
now volume.
We're going to do a little bit of celebratory movement.
Okay. Well, hello. I'm Maxim Johnston, and I was in a spirit group. And I really enjoyed the group a lot. I enjoyed getting to know those people. And I think that that is not only enjoyable, but it's something that's important for the congregation. Because a church, in my mind, is more than just a collection of individuals worshiping God. It has to do with the connection and the acquaintanceship that you share during that process. And oftentimes, in my experience, that friendship expands beyond just the period of worship, and becomes part of your set of friends. And I think that the connection with the congregation is every bit as valuable as the connection with God.
Britt Hopkins. Okay.
What was that?
All right. My experience with leading a spirit group was quite transformational. That's sort of the word of the day for me. I went into it quite timidly thinking, there's no way I can lead this. But I came out thinking, wow, you know, somebody had a little faith in me, and we had amazing connections. Trust was built. Being able to delve into really substantive talk about what really matters in the world to me was very valuable, way beyond the chit-chat that you ordinarily get on a Sunday. So I think spirits were fed, and I think it's a great way to deepen the work that we do at Unity.
For me, spiritual...
Okay, name?
David Lineweber. My name is David Lineweber. And for me, the Spirit Groups was a really great experience, I think from two standpoints. One was I got to know half of the group that I was with. I knew already we're all in the choir. But the rest of the group, the other four individuals, I didn't really know before I was in the Spirit Group with them. And it was really cool to get to know four really cool people. But more than that, the chance to have deep spiritual discussions with the individuals of the group, to hear their viewpoint, have my viewpoint changed, is something that doesn't happen to me during Sunday service. It doesn't happen in a normal conversation that I have before or after the service. So that was, for me, I think the real key point.
My name is Ann Howard, and I had a lovely serendipity with the Spirit Group that I didn't realize was going to happen. About 80% of us in the Spirit Group are of the vintage generation. So, but we had a young couple who are in their 20s, and it just turned out when the trust level was so well established and the feeling of community so strong that the generational difference didn't make a difference. And we enjoyed each other's company, and I think we benefited from different points of view and each other's wisdom. And so it was a very lovely surprise to me. And so that was one of the things that I got out of the Spirit Group that I didn't realize was going to happen.
My name's Ryan Dirks, and what I really enjoyed about the Spirit Groups was being part of the congregation in church. I still didn't feel like I could reach out and connect as much as I'd like to. So when I became part of the Spirit Group, I got more of a community connection, and it even built me up to the point where I made other connections during church and allowed more of that confidence in me to come out.
My name is Gary Howard. I was the host for the Spirit Groups, and I am really struck with how accurate the word spirit involves this whole activity. We met as friends, and we've come away as bonded, trusting spirits. That's the word I would have. After our meetings, I was astounded at the word that kept going through my mind. It was enrichment. I would wake up in the middle of the night and think about how I felt about the people that were in this group and how we had bonded. I recommend this for everyone.
All right. And then just the last thing I'm going to say is in your bulletin today is a registration form. There's six events that are happening next month in August. So if you're interested in any of these activities, these programs, do indicate your interest and then provide your contact information placed in the love offering basket when it comes around. This is our registration system now, and so let's make sure that it works. So test it out, will you? By signing up for a class. Thank you so much. Let's get ready for a meditation experience.
So let's take a few minutes now in meditation. And if you're new to meditation, it's nothing more than getting quiet and turning inward and connecting with that sense of spirit within. So I invite you all to just breathe. Just breathe. It's the most fundamental thing that we do. We just breathe. But with all the things going on in our lives, it's breathing that calms us down and takes us back to center. And it helps us remember. That I am as God created me. would peel away the masks and the stress of the day and all the confusion going on in life, and we just remember, I am. I am at the deepest point of my life. I am as an expression of God, as an expression of light and spirit. And all we do is we relax and we remember. We relax into who and what we are. No struggles, nothing fancy. We just relax into the I am of God, that spirit, that expression. I am the vibration of God, the expression of God. And when I relax, and when I remember, I am that perfect light. I am that perfect light for me, for wholeness, for completion. And when I remember, when I relax, I'm just taken to new depths that I can't even explain. And the Spirit of God soars through me. And so with that expression, that feeling, that knowing that I am, let's just take that into the silence. And let's just be with it for just a moment. In the silence. And I remember, and I am filled with the Spirit of God, and I say thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing this with me today. Thank you. All right. Okay, now I need to see everybody. There we go. Okay, thank you. So I've been doing a series of talks called Making Your Mind Matter. Is that right? What it is? Yeah, Making Your Mind Matter. I just want to make sure. And it's all about looking at the role that our mind plays in our spiritual journey. And we're looking at, in the context of one of our foundational principles, which is that we all create our own personal reality. So, do you believe that?
Yes.
That we create our personal reality through our thoughts and feelings, our beliefs, and how we're being with what we're having. So that's what we're saying, and that's quite different than many other faith communities. So we are under the agreement that we create, we interact, we participate in creating how our life looks and feels by virtue of how we're being with what we're having. So that's what we're saying. Now the challenge, while that's good, that's what unity, that's our foundation principle, the fact of the matter is that we don't apply that principle to how we engage what we're having as our life experience. In other words, when we have a difficult life situation, or when we have a situation that has a degree of elevated discomfort associated with it, we tend to engage the situation as if it's against us, right? That's our tendency. And when we when it becomes our tendency to engage our life as if it's against us, then we've abdicated that aspect of the principle that we are co-creators of our reality. Instead, we're basically saying, no, life happens to us. And therefore, we're subjugated to what we're having. We become defined by our experience, in other words. And so if you just look out at your life and just examine where your discomfort is coming from, it's likely that you've sourced your discomfort outside of yourself, and it's in the context of some situation or something that you're having or something that you don't have yet that is a part of perhaps the discomfort. So we've been talking about this whole arena of how we be with what we have as our life experience. And as we are able to shift in our relationship to what we're having, we can discover a different utility or a different capacity to be with our experience without freaking out. Right? And so that's important to us. So let's see. Last time I talked about, you know, to have or not to have. That is not the question. That's, you know, if what we're having represents something that we have helped to co-create, it's important for us to examine what's behind what our experience is, right? If we are to deal with ourselves as participants in creating our reality, I'm suggesting, you see. And so if we understand that what we have or what we don't have has the potential to define us, and that's not what we're really wanting, we're wanting what we have or what we don't have to invite us into a greater expression of who and what we've come here to be, not diminish us. Can you see how that's what we're after? And so the whole idea is that if we know that what we're having is for us, and yet we're still struggling to be present to our experience without feeling diminished by it, then our work is to be present to what we're having and be in the struggle of not feeling diminished by it. Can you see how that's important? Now, I want to stop talking about all this stuff myself because I want to move on to the next thing. And so I'm wanting us to understand that the next thing is coming, but we can't get there yet until we finish the thing that we're on. So last time I mentioned that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure that is buried into a field, and then when you discover that within this field is your buried treasure, you sell everything that you have and buy the field because it's the field that contains what it is that is really serving and nurturing our soul. And so we talked about last time that this field, this dynamic, we looked at Greg Braden, and he mentioned, bless you, he mentioned that when we can change the field within which the atom is in, we change the atom. And we looked at the dynamic of the field as simply a way of contextualizing our experience. In other words, if we have a context that our life is against us, if that's our life paradigm, if that's what we're conditioned to believe, then our life will look and feel as if it's against us. That's not rocket science. Just what you see is what you get, so to speak. But that's not the only context that we have to work with. We have other contexts in terms of, you know, my life happens because I'm here to be who and what I've come here to be. And so I co-create with God what my experience is. And we also looked at the dimension of the field that exists as life happens through me, that I'm a conduit for my higher self to express. We looked at life as it happens as we are in the experience of being unto our life experience the way of God, the avenue through which God expresses. These are dimensional aspects of different contexts within which we can be with what we're having and find a higher purpose in each elevated state or elevated field within which we're experiencing our life. So the question that I have for us today is that the issue that I'm going to bring up today is that before we can get what we want, we have to want what we have. So we're going to get to a place where I'm going to want to be talking about manifesting our hopes and dreams. Are you ready? Okay, but we're not there yet. You know, it's important that we have skills to be present to what we're having first. And I hope you understand the rationale behind that, because if we make the attempt of trying to focus on trying to get what we want before we're willing to be with what we have, then we're likely to use what we want as a way of mitigating our own discomfort within ourselves. We're likely to use what we're having as a way of feeling better about ourselves instead of using what we're having to transform ourselves. So that's why it's important to delay not focusing on acquiring something that gives you some sense of completion or fulfillment or otherwise a joy that is linked to something outside of yourself, and first begin to discover your own capacity within yourself to manage whatever is happening in your moment without feeling diminished by it. Can you see how that is emotionally more mature place to be in your spiritual journey? By really focusing on, let me get to a place where I can absolutely be present to what I'm having as if it's a gift unto me. And then when I'm able to be at a place where I can reconcile all the conditioned aspects of my being that wants to push away what is challenging or what is seemingly different than me, when I'm able to manage and be with my life out of less anxiety and less having to have to things be a certain way, then I can begin to create what it is that is really fulfilling and connected to my passion. So I hope that rationale explains things, because that's the end of my talk. So one of the things that happens when I'm sharing, and that is there's this time typically in my talk where all of a sudden I'm aware that something is happening that we're all co-creating together, and I'm finding that I'm giving a voice to it. Okay, I don't know if that makes sense to anybody or not. Okay, I'm getting some nods. That's good. That's an affirmation for me. But one of the things that happened last time was that I was talking about the fourth context with respect to how to be with what we have. And that context was to be with what we have as if we are unto it the Christ of God, or the activity of Spirit. We are unto our own life, whatever it is that we're having in our life, the way of God. And I used the example last time of imagining somebody that we love, that you might love unconditionally. You remember, for those of you here, remember that example? You pick somebody that you love unconditionally, probably under the age of 2. And you have this person in front of you, and you're there, and you're experiencing that, and you know that the experience, the felt sense of connection to that person transcends their appearance, what's going on in their life. It just flows from you to this person, and you can't help yourself. It could be said that it's not even you loving this person, it's the activity of God loving through you. That is what is unconditional love. And we all acknowledge, yes, we have an experience like that. We've had that. But then if you imagine just setting that person aside and bringing somebody else before you that you have some baggage with, and now the feeling is different. And now it could be said that we're actually in the way of God. Remember that moment? Well, what happened when I spoke that is that there was something that happened within me that basically said, you have just identified what it means to heal issues of the heart. And I wasn't able to speak to it because I was out of time. And then there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and then life happened, and then now here I am. And so now I want to revisit that moment with you, because there is something special there. And so in that moment, I mentioned that that as I bring up individuals in my past where I have this hesitation, where I have this resistance to open my heart and to love unconditionally, just as I would that little child, and I have to tell you that I have people in my life like that, where it's not the same experience. And everywhere that I have a person like that, I'm thinking about a number of my past wife experiences, for instance. Perhaps you have a past relationship. Have you ever failed in a relationship before? Okay. All right, so point taken. So the point is that when we're able to be in a place where we see that our purpose here on this planet is to be the way unto which the activity of spirit expresses itself, that's what we're called to be with whatever we're having. And when we don't realize that that's our purpose, something else takes place that is part and parcel to our own self-inflicted suffering, when you think about it. And so when I find myself in this effort to open my heart to be the expression unto whatever is in my experience that is before me, that is inviting me into this purpose of being the way of God, all I have to do is just look around, and my life is calling me forth unto that purpose. Can you not feel called to this purpose now? To know that you are a conduit of God's love. And I understand that the world is calling for this, but I'm suggesting that your heart needs this from you. Your heart needs from you the capacity to open itself far enough where it can let in whatever has hurt you the most, so you can be unto it the way of God's love. And that's what's needed for whatever is going on in this world. That's what's needed in order for you to be present to what you're having, because the ultimate aim of everything that happens into your life is that you learn that you are a conduit of God's love unto your life experience. And when we acknowledge that, when we see that, then we want whatever's in the way of that expression is the issue of the heart that needs to be healed. And when it's not healed, not only does it create what we're witnessing in the world, but it creates what we experience in our bodies, in our relationships, in our efforts to create for ourselves what we hope and desire and yearn for. It's all in the way, unless we are unto our life the way. Is that not the truth? I think so. So the other side of the struggle that I'm having right now, that I'm wanting to have us get to a place where we can see that what we're having in our life is not the issue in terms of our challenge, our problem, so to speak. What we're having in our life is inviting us into the greater expression of ourself. And until we get present to our life, we have yet to access the power that life, that we are in relationship to life to transform the world in which we live. And so part of the challenge is to get present to what we're having. And so you remember that I mentioned that we can be present to any situation that we're having and not feel diminished by it. Remember when I said that? It was just a few minutes ago. And because I didn't ask you to teach it to somebody, you forgot it already. So what was it that I just asked you? What was that? Say again. Being present, right. So part of being present to our life is really knowing that whatever we're having is for us, and what is the litmus test for how we can know that we're present to what we're having? Gratitude, thank you. Gratitude is the ultimate test that we know we're here now with what we're having. When we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this cancer. You know, and so when I said that to myself 4 or 5 months ago, you know, it launched me into a quest of really demonstrating and proving to myself that the right field, the right context within which we could be with whatever we're having can determine whether or not we're diminished by it. And so the fact of the matter is that we can be present to anything that we're having in our life experience and not feel diminished by it, but the condition for not feeling diminished by it means that we have to own it. We have to understand that we have helped to draw it into our life. Now, that's hard for us to go there. For some life circumstances, it's hard for us to go to a place where I've drawn this into my life, or I have asked for this in my life, or I have helped to co-create this in my life. And yet, it is until we arrive at that place where we say, yes, there's a part of my soul that is drawing this forth into my life because of who I am, because of purpose being capable of being expressed through me. And so it's a struggle to get to a place where we can own what we're having. It's not easy to get to a place where we own it all and not have anything outside of ourselves to be contingent upon whether or not we're okay or safe, but to own our moment completely. Now the challenge as we approach the capacity to be willing to say yes to that is not a yes that is absent of the entire force of the universe, because what happens is that you step into a different universe when you own it all than when you step out of that universe when it's all against you. Can you see the difference? When you're having your life be against you, the power is not here, it's not in your presence. But when you own it, when you say, I've helped to co-create this, you have the power to be able to use that situation in a way that can transform your life. So I think I'm about done with talking about how to be with what we're having, but I just want to reiterate that we can't get what we want until we want what we have. And so whatever you're having in your life that's bringing you into a place that is less than empowerment, less than a sense of well-being, less than a sense of value and worth, then you just need to know that connected to that is some regret, some unforgiveness, some resistance to in your life where you had, for whatever reason, failed to be that conduit for God's presence and love, and what got created instead was something now that is here for you to heal. So whatever is your journey, your path, know that your healing journey includes awakening to that part of yourself that is inviting you now to be the one to own it all. God bless you.